Philippians chapter 3. No confidence in the flesh. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, as it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel and of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, to attain the resurrection from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
If somebody was to write your obituary, what would you like to be written? Let me put it another way. What would you, at the end of your life, like to be remembered for? You could say, well, 11:15 on a Sunday, never thought about that. Haven't any idea at all. Here's the truth. Throughout God's word, it is very clear he does have a very good idea of what he wants to be written in your obituary, what he wants you to be remembered for. Throughout this whole book of his, it's a theme running through it, that God has a big purpose for your life and mine. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says that you and I are created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God planned in advance. What are those good works? Jesus describes something about them when he says this in Acts 1, verse 8. You will be my witnesses. What's a witness? Somebody who says what they've seen. Part of God's purpose is that your life declares what you've seen, what I've seen, what we've experienced. St. Paul, the writer of this letter, which we're looking at a bit of this morning, he writes in God's word, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we are Christ's ambassadors. That's what you are, Christ's ambassador. What does an ambassador do? They represent the kingdom they come from. God has a big purpose for your life and mine. Before leaving them, Jesus says to his disciples, I'm sending you. They're missionaries. And Jesus hasn't stopped saying that. He says to you and to me, along with all of our people we call all saints around the world, I am sending you. The Latin for sending or send is missio. We get our word missionary from it. Whether you know it or not, you're a missionary. At least that's what God wants you to be. That's what he wants in your obituary and mine. Now, there's a film I quite like. It's quite a funny film. It's Blues Brothers. Don't know if you've seen it. And there's a line in that which says this, we're on a mission from God. Not a line I use in conversation, because in the film, it's a joke, and it kind of sounds arrogant. Actually, in real life, it's a truth. You are, if you will receive it, on a mission from God. And according to this reading we've just heard from Philippians, there are two ways of going about this mission. we're going to look at these two ways. One of them doesn't work. Okay. I'm going to, as Paul writes, he's writing as a safeguard to warn the receivers of this letter not to live this way, not to try doing God's mission in this way. The second way that Paul then goes on to describe does work. I'm going to commend this way to you as St. Paul, and in God's word, commends it to you and ask you to commit this day and your next day and all your days to this way or to recommit your life to it. You see, Paul, as we've heard in the last weeks, is writing to some very dear friends of his. They're in a church which he started. It's in Philippi. And he's writing this letter of thanks because he's like one of their all saints around the world. They're supporting him. They're giving him their prayers, their encouragement, their financial support. But while Paul is under arrest, possibly in Rome, it's towards the end of his life, he gets news that there are some false teachers coming to the church of Philippi. And they are trying to persuade them to live out their mission from God in a bad way, the wrong way. And what Paul calls them is dogs. Have you got your Bible open? If you haven't and got a Bible there, just it's on page 1180, and you'll see in verse 2, he calls these teachers who he's writing to warn them against dogs. Now, that might not sound too bad, but in first century Jewish circles, which Paul was brought up in, he was born a Jew, that's a very bad insult. A dog was an unclean animal. I've got two dogs. I love dogs. But nevertheless, call somebody a dog, not a nice thing to say. That's what he calls them. They're leading the people astray. And how are they doing this? Well, their teaching, Paul says, is putting confidence in the flesh. Can you see that? Verse 4. What on earth does that mean? He goes on to describe what a life lived out in confidence in the flesh actually looks like. It's what he tried to do. So Paul here gives a testimony of what his life used to be like before he met Jesus. The flesh doesn't just mean his physical body. It means all the training, all the qualifications, all the gifts, everything in your CV, all that makes you are you. And his CV was pretty impressive. Have a look at it. For a start, he was born in the nation that were God's people. He was circumcised on the eighth day of his life. That's the badge, if you like, the badge of honor of being a Jew. He wasn't only a Jew. He was one of the elite members. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. That's what it says. Can you see that? Now, if you know your Old Testament history, the tribe of Benjamin, you may know, were the tribe from whom Israel had its first king. So Paul's basically saying, in my CV is royal blood. Not only that, the tribe of Benjamin, they were the one tribe that stayed faithful to King David and his successors in the Old Testament. So it's like a kind of a spiritual elite that he's born into. Not only that, he went to a top school, got a top training, and in all of his exams in keeping the Jewish law, what does it say? He was faultless. No one could find anything wrong with him. He was getting A stars, and then after leaving that school, where we learn in other of his letters, he had some top teachers of the day, one of them called Gamaliel. He went out and he lived a life true to the law as regards legalistic righteousness. Living out the law. You couldn't fault him. That was the way he lived. And it's a bit like this. I'm going to give you a picture. It's actually a picture from Dave Atkins, but I'm nicking it from him. If you liken your life that I've just described, your CV, to a credit card, okay? Here's my credit card. If you've got a credit card, get it out if you like to. If you like visual aids, let me. This represents everything you're good at. Now, in first century Jewish circles, Paul's described what high credit looked like. Yeah. Today, 21st century Peckham probably looks kind of different. Maybe your credit is because you're really brilliant at something. Maybe you're a high performer. Maybe you've got a great ancestry. None of these things are wrong. Perhaps you've got a very high credit rating. But here's the thing. However good, however talented, however spotless your family tree, however great your CV or the marks in your exams, if you try to live out God's mission for you with your own credit card according to your own righteousness, it's not going to work. Quick story. Can't remember if I've told you before. My youngest daughter says, "Dad, you've told me that a million times." Anyway, you won't hear any more stories for a couple of months because I'm going on a sabbatical. But I'll tell you this one because it's brilliant. I was running in the county championships for Sussex 11 years ago. We were hoping to win the team gold. And I pass the running coach and he cries out to me this word of encouragement. He said, "For God's sake, Vic." That's how he begins, trying to be theological. Vic for vicar, you see. He says, "For God's sake, Vic, get a move on. If we're going to win, it all depends on you." That's what he said. And that, if you like, is the cry. It's gone into my heart because in all seriousness, that was the way that I was living then as a vicar, as though it all depended on me. That sums up life lived according to your own credit, your own gifts. And there's a voice in your head or voices around you saying, "For God's sake, get a move on. It all depends on you." And none of those voices are Jesus. None of them are Jesus. He is the good shepherd who leads you beside still waters to restore your soul and offers you a different credit card, which Paul goes on to describe in this reading. I want to know Christ and the surpassing greatness of Christ. Since meeting him on the Damascus Road, he's no longer believing in his own credit. In fact, he calls it rubbish. You see that word? The word rubbish isn't actually a very good translation of the Greek that Paul actually uses. The actual word is what my dogs leave behind in Warwick Gardens. And we scoop up with this. Do you see what I mean? I can't say the words. Yeah. That's what the word, the Greek word here, translated in a very respectful English way in the New International Respectful Version, calls rubbish. Paul's word is kind of stronger. Living the old way burns you out. It burns me out. It's like a candle burning and the wick is burning, not the oil. Does that make sense? That's the old way, burning up and burning out. And now Paul has found a new credit card. Whose credit are you drawing from? If you're a missionary, one of our All Saints around the world, or one of us All Saints in Peckham, or Nunhead, or wherever you live, which credit card are we using? You see, God uses our gifts. He goes on to use Paul's gifts. In his old life, he was called Saul. All of the things about him is training. God uses. He wastes nothing. And yet, all of that, compared to what he now has, since coming before Jesus, humbled before Jesus on the Damascus Road, comes with his old life, with all its drivenness, with all its rage, with all its murderous intent, with everything that was burning up inside Paul, it's now being crucified, as it were, and he's given a new credit card. He's not living by his own righteousness. He's brought to his knees, as I was in different ways. As I passed the coach, and that's County Cross Country Championships, this is a true story, went round the corner, pulled a hamstring. With the echo of the words, it all depends on you. That is not the voice of Jesus. The word of Jesus, the voice of Jesus in God's word says, there is a surpassing greatness. I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We're thinking about next week. Jesus has taken hold of Paul and given him a mission in life to serve God, to be burned up by God, but not the wick burning, but with the oil of the Holy Spirit, and to live by the righteousness, verse 9, that comes from God. And it is by faith. He's no longer putting his faith in the old credit card, but in the new one. You see, a missionary isn't someone who crosses the sea, but someone who sees the cross. Do you get that? And St. Paul, he has this incredible encounter with Jesus, and he sees the cross. He gets the cross in all its mystery, understanding this, that Jesus dies on the cross for you and gives you his power, his forgiveness, his new start, like taking on a new credit card. Here, take hold of this credit card and spend your life in the good works I prepared in advance for you to do. Try to do these good works with your old credit card. It's rubbish. It's not going to work. Last weekend, if you were here on Saturday and then on Sunday, we talked about our site redevelopment, which we, the PCC, and the staff team and others believe this is God's good work for us, his church. And God's going to use quite a few of our credit cards, if this is going to work, with money and gifts. We need some people with a CV who've got some experience, training, knowledge, gifting in fundraising, for example. And a whole bunch of other things, which we were talking about. But here's the fact that was true last weekend. It was shot through the whole of our vision. That unless God builds the house, it's rubbish. And that's why on May the 11th, that's our next prayer meeting, we're inviting as many as possible to come to this prayer meeting to pray to God to build the house. And then at our May PCC, we'll be deciding, yep, we're pressing the go button on this. But it's not according to our credit card, but God's calling, who uses missionaries, which means people who are sent. Does this make sense? You and I are missionaries. When you leave this place, some of you are going to the hall, getting some great Indian food for Sunday lunch. Some of you from the Arab Palace. Some of you might be going home. Some of you might be going to other places. You are sent as a missionary. When we make staff appointments here, we simply look for people called to All Saints and Peckham, who are going to use God's credit card. One person who he called some years ago, who some of us know really well, is a good friend of mine and colleague, is Darius. And God put a call on his life a few years ago to come and join us at Old Peckham. He's got a new call, brother, on your life. A few of us have been sharing with you about this calling as it's materialized. For those who don't know, tell us what it is and what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, before I do that quickly, 2006 I went to train to be a missionary. 2009 I got a phone call from the vicar at the time, Frog, and he's like, can you be here in 6 days to move to Peckham? So I moved here. My first Sunday I was walking down Rye Lane and I was like, God, I'm home. That was when he confirmed my calling here to Peckham, to the young people here, to this church and to the community. 2012 he called me to be a husband. I was scared out of my wits, didn't know what that meant to my beautiful wife, Grace. 2014, he called me to be a father to beautiful Amaya. And 2016, he's called me to be ordained. So, I don't know how I'm going to do it. In fact, I can't do it. And really, to do with, in line with what Jonathan is speaking about this morning, the only way I could walk that path is with a certainty that that's the direction that he's calling us as a family in. So I'm scared in myself, but with him, every step of the way, every time I've sensed he's called me, I've responded, he's given me what we needed in order to fulfill the calling. So it's in his confidence, not my own, that I just place one foot in front of the other.
Darius, we're going to hear and indeed pray a lot more to that for you, but thank you for that. Thank you. That's a good definition of what God's calling is like. You're home. Home isn't necessarily comfortable. See Steve and Sarah, Tabitha and Jaira, they're home. But pretty tough place to be where they are. But it's where God wants them to be. Good works he's planned in advance for them to do, for Darius to do, for you to do in his strength with his credit card. Whose credit are you drawing from? It does not depend on you. Like the Philippian Christians, other churches do, Paul writes, we're all tempted to live in ways that actually are rubbish. To believe the lie that it's all about your gifts. This morning, God's inviting you and me to recognize we need his credit card, to see the cross afresh, to draw on his righteousness. I'm going to invite the band to come up now. And before we sing this prayer, which says, Jesus, be the center, I'm going to pray this prayer for any one of us who recognizes, actually, I am living in a way that's living out it as like it all depends on me. I thank God that he's impressed on me that it doesn't. I couldn't have gone on sabbatical in 2004. I really thought the parish back then depended on me. I know and I thank God that it doesn't now. And when I go to France, I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot. And I'm not going alone. Rutli is going with me. As long as she gets better, actually. She's ill today. I think she will. I'm going with Rutli, and we go with God. Wherever he's sending you, you go with God. If this is your prayer, I just invite you to echo it in your heart. A prayer to live by the right credit cards. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that some days, maybe this day is one of them, I've believed the lie that it all depends on me. That I've lived or thought or acted as though it was my strength, my gifts, my CV that made the difference. Lord, I lay down my old credit card. like the boy who brought the packed lunch to Jesus and with it you fed 5,000. I give to you my gifts, my old credit card, and I pray that you'd help me to use yours, that I transfer my balance to you. Does that make sense? I transfer my balance to you. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Please forgive me when I haven't. Please help me from now on.